Hey, it's Ash. Today's episode of Eat, Talk, Repeat is sponsored by Sam and Ash Injury Law. If you've been injured in a crash, call Sam and Ash, 702-820-1234, or visit samandashlaw.com. Sam and Ash, because you deserve what's right.
Oh, oh, good God.
It's time for You Know What.
Wow.
Ash, you're back.
I'm back.
That was the fastest liftoff we've ever had. I mean, I sat. That's like sitting down and the plane takes off before you've even buckled your seatbelt.
It's like Air Force One, but a podcast.
Usually it's more like, you know, a Reed airport on a busy weekend where you just sit on the tarmac for a while.
Yeah, we had no safety briefing this time.
Like, okay, here we go.
Oh, man.
Okay, we're going right into it now.
Yeah, let's go right into
it. Talk, repeat, here we are.
Happy Friday. Your hosts, John Curtis. What's your nickname today?
My nickname today is, where did I do with my sunglasses?
Okay.
Oh, there they are in my pocket. Okay.
Hope they're not crushed.
Hey, look at these. Are these cool or what? Look at this.
Uh-oh. This is a boomer thing. I can see it.
Can you hear that, folks?
Yeah. They're magnetic.
Is that as seen on TV?
Yeah, as seen on TV, yes.
Did you get John two for one, free shipping and handling?
Exactly. And I got some free buffet tickets with them.
Is that magnetic?
Magnetic.
It's regular glasses, but then there's an overlay that snaps on.
I think my grandmother had these.
And these things are so dark you could look into the sun.
Right. These are the kind of glasses that you get after cataracts.
Exactly. And when I wear them, I look just like it. But, you know, they are.
John, don't age yourself like this. Those are very cool.
Okay. And they're totally not connected to anything we're doing here for.
John, where are my sunglasses, Curtis? Sam, the crudo connoisseur, Murjovsky.
Indeed. And Ash?
What am I going to be?
I like La Principessa.
La Principessa of burgers. I'm back. I missed you guys.
I'm in a better mood today, so I am the infallible epicure.
Okay, there we go.
That's who I am.
Thanks for listening. Like, follow.
I'm never in doubt.
Yeah.
And I'm always right.
You're wrong a lot, actually. But yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Like, follow, subscribe to the show. Leave us a review, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Guys, go through your Instagram handles because we're getting a lot of people tweeting and Instagramming us feedback. The show is at Eat, Talk, Repeat on all platforms. John, you've got a million, so.
It's easy. And on Twitter, I still call it Twitter. I hate X.
Yeah, no one uses X.
At Eating
Even
Las
Twitter
Vegas.
Doesn't use X.
I know. At Eating Las Vegas. It's been my handle there since 2009. And on Instagram, it's at John Curtis. My name's C-U-R-T-A-S. I put the ass in Curtis.
Yes, you do. And Sam, you are what's right. Sam on all platforms, and I am Ash the attorney.
And one other thing, shameless plug alert.
Okay.
I also have I'm one of the few people I'm hanging in there with a website.
Your blog.
Yeah, I have a blog. People still do blogs. Not many of us are left, but I just dropped a new a new travel thing last night. It's just a DC. It's called, you'll love this one, Capital Nourishment. It's dining around Washington, D.C. So just a little 1,500 words on, I go to Washington, D.C. all the time. So I thought I'd just throw together, you know, here's some of my restaurant picks when I'm there, because I've gotten to know that restaurant scene very well. I mean, I'm as comfortable walking around D.C. as I am on the Las Vegas
Strip.
Is
that where you get some deep state, deep dish?
The congressmen are all over me. Yeah, I'm the one person that goes to D.C. not for the politics, just for the food. And the museums, of course. The museums are
I love
fabulous.
D.C. for the museums.
Yeah. That's that. So if you're interested in what it's like to eat around D.C., go to eatinglv.com.
All right. I will go there. Are there pictures?
Pictures for you millennials.
Thank you.
I try to write in 120-word sound bites so that Ash Watkins can understand it.
I appreciate it, John. Okay, let's get into food news you can use. Vegas Unstripped, we talked about it last week. The week before, we went through the rundown of chefs. Again, reminder, May 18th, 7 to 10 p.m. Prime. It's at the Palms Casino and Resort. A lot of chefs, a lot of cocktails, a lot of wine, beer from local establishments. Go support them. I know a lot of people see the rundown, like the foodies, the listeners. They go, oh, yeah, but I go to all these restaurants all the time. But remember, John, what's the caveat about the chefs when they come to this event? Yeah.
In order to be brought in by the promoters, Eric Gladstone's been doing it for years now. The chefs have got to feature a dish or dishes that they do not normally serve in their restaurant. So they have to create something just for the event, and they all do, and it's invariably spectacular. It's the best one-spot shopping for seeing what all the great local restaurants are doing once a year.
Yeah, I call it a culinary tease because they show you something off-menu, and then all you do is think about it. Next time you go to the restaurant, you're like, I wish I could get this thing that they made. But
We can't. But you can see what they're all about. Meet the and all the chefs are right there. I mean, Steve Kessler from Aroma, from
James Trees.
I mean,
Gio Morrow.
Mimo for, I don't know. I don't think Mimo's on this year. I don't know if he is. I don't want to ask.
Milpa.
Milpa guy.
Yeah.
Sorry, chefs.
Yeah, it's slow. I haven't had my coffee. But yeah, go to VegasUnstripped.com, get your tickets. It'll be a great event. At Vegas Bosshead on Twitter sent to you the Eater Vegas link to restaurant and bar closures from May 2024.
Yeah.
I don't think any were surprising to you.
None.
I was a little surprised by peyote.
No.
Although I never went. So
well, you never went because it was never open. This restaurant was closed. Every time I ever wanted to go to peyote, it was closed. What did they open? Three nights a week?
Yeah, 3 nights a week.
That's so frustrating.
That's not a restaurant. That's a special event space.
I could talk for an hour about what a failure East Fremont Street has been over the last 10 years. But I don't want to, you know, I hate to bash.
But one of your favorite places is across the street.
What?
Public Us.
Public Us, of course.
And Mothership Coffee's over there.
Yeah, but it's like an island of deliciousness in a sea of shit. Okay.
I know.
And I mean, and then you know, the city's done everything it can, you know, that drug addicted creep Tony Hsieh promised the moon and delivered very little. I mean, it's all just it's all fallen flat. I don't think you guys were even in town in that 2008, 2009, 2010 era when all the hype was what they were going to do downtown, and it's all fallen on its face. And it doesn't surprise me if anything fails there. But chemo at Publicus is wonderful. I mean, hats off to him because he has developed, because he does his own baking, all the own cooking.
Yep.
It's very much a hands-on operation, great coffee. And he's been able to survive, but everything else just thinks it's going to survive because all the hipsters will go out there. And guess what? Nobody wants to go out to East Fremont Street. They don't.
Atomic Liquors is still there, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah,
I am with you. I don't like going out there because
it's... And the test kitchen.
It's gone.
Oh, that's gone too?
That's been gone for a while, yeah.
That folded a year ago. Yeah.
But they have a problem with the homeless over there, and it's really a bigger problem there than even we face or... I think across the street faces,
right?
You know, I think that's one of the bigger deterrents because it is much more difficult.
And it's just so ugly out there, and it's never filled in, and the promise was never fulfilled, and it's just, I don't know. Container Park has been it's just awful. I mean, it's just, oh, don't get me started.
There's his mood. We just tanked it right there.
Jesus. But hats off again to Publicus because it is fabulous. Yeah. But it's about that and Mothership. Are the Atomic Liquors are the three things that buck the tide and have been a huge success.
Yeah, and I think it also is a testament to you have to really be doing something great. You just can't build out a fake. It can't be a show. It can't be traditional Vegas where it's just all pictures and smoke and mirrors and Instagrammable. It actually has to have substance to get the locals to come back.
Yeah. But enough about peyote, okay?
Okay.
Dumbest effing name ever, right? And what Sam said about it. Never open. We're just going to have this cool name and everybody's going to show up. Guess what? They didn't. It was a dumb idea, and they never performed.
But on the plus side, it was I loved the restaurant itself.
Oh, yeah.
Loved their patio. It was cool inside. Yeah. It had a great vibe. I'd been there. I probably ate there three, four, or five times. And food was not exceptional, but it wasn't terrible in the beginning. But it just was never open.
Yeah.
You can't have a restaurant that gets into people's minds that it's not available when you want it.
Right. Just a bad idea.
And I love consistency with hours. It's like, what are your hours? 11 to 11. That's my the sweet spot. Just tell me like 11 to 11.
And you know,
like,
yeah. And 7 days a week and close 4 days a year. Like, yeah. That's it. You know?
My friend JB, that's what he can't stand about 1228 Main. He goes, you know, they're open 7:30 some days, 8 o'clock the other days. Yeah. You know, it's Saturday and Sunday. It's different. It drives them crazy.
I know.
I get it.
Bella Vita, I never heard of it. Three locations closed. Shalom, y'all, in Aria's proper, Eats Food Hall closed.
Hold on. I'm missing an opportunity to be a cranky old guy.
Oh,
right,
please,
now.
Take it.
Yeah, Bella Vita was the one that that Eater Vegas, yawn, eye roll, says, beloved Las Vegas Italian restaurant closed by who?
Yeah, I didn't even know about it. No, it wasn't even on my radar.
This was the headline, the clickbait headline, like, this is so beloved. And apparently there's lots of legal issues with Bella Vita. Remember when it closed, apparently didn't pay people. There were employees coming out of the woodwork. There were suppliers coming out of the woodwork. So, you know, whatever.
I forgot about that story.
And another overhyped nothing burger that Eater Las Vegas, you know, loves to talk about.
Okay. Proper Eats Food Hall Carbone is opening a fast casual spot in the Proper Eats Food Hall in Aria.
That could be a hit.
I think Vital Vegas will love it. It's doing a chicken parm sandwich. So,
Chicken parm?
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, wow. You know what I really like? When it's got lots of tomato sauce on it, okay?
Lots of tomatoes.
And a huge, cheap mozzarella.
Huge.
Yeah. Huge amounts of cheap mozzarella.
Yeah, so.
And then I'll tell everybody, I'm Scott Robin, how great the chicken parm is. Yeah. I mean, I love that chicken parm, man, when I'm not being a slot junkie. Okay, let's fuck him. All right, let's go.
I just killed John. John's like, I'm such a great movie.
I love Scott.
You brought up.
Okay, easy.
Chicken parm. Don't bring up chicken parm.
Okay, we know
it's
you're
a trigger. It's a trigger word.
Mr. Hollywood sent this to me. It was totally off my radar, but Screezy Italian. I sent you this link. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's Sgrizzi, and it's by Chef Mark Screezy.
Oh, Sgrizzi. Yeah.
Okay.
Chef Mark's been around forever. Love Chef Mark. Great cook. Jinxed as far as a restaurateur.
Okay, well, he's opening a new spot. Well, open.
I've heard those words like about 15 times in the last 20 years, and I love Mark.
What did he open before?
Oh, he had Chef Mark's. He's been out on North Rancho. He was off of Lake Mead. He was at the Ahern Hotel. Mark is one of these guys that can't sing. I mean, he is, when he's at the stoves, his food is great. It's Southern Italian American stuff. So, you know, it's garlicky, tomatoey, you know, cheesy, but really done well. But he just seems to flit from place to place.
Are like they his own places, or is he?
He's a chef restaurateur, and I just think he's a better chef than he is a restaurateur.
I mean, it's an artist versus it's left brain, right brain,
But he has a following. Chef Mark has a following, and deserved.
He's open apparently on South Rainbow.
Okay,
so there you go.
Good, there he goes. Hold on, before we forget, I'm not gonna bash chicken. Is that Carbone? The Carbone in Aria?
Yeah, it's their fast casual spot. It's called Parm Italian.
And where's it going again?
Aria's Proper Eats Food Hall.
Oh, okay. Well, who gives a shit about that?
Well, maybe I do.
Okay. Well, yeah, like you hang out at the food hall, Aria, all the time. Okay. Have you been to the Aria Food Hall?
No.
It's the most inconvenient place in town to go get food.
You know what's funny? I live right next door, and I never So it is arguably the most convenient place, and I don't go there.
But I think it captures everybody who can't get into the other restaurants right?
Yeah. I mean, and Carbone is one of the hardest rezzos to get. So if you've got a little Italian craving, you might have had too much to drink. I don't know, my millennial people. And you need a meatball parm or chicken parm sandwich to sop it up. There you go.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fine.
Fine.
That's the kind of money grab that I just doesn't interest me at all. But I'll leave it at that.
Okay. We got to give the food news. It just
I know.
Bear
we have
with
to,
me.
I know. We know.
There's a new local Vegas magazine. I just found out Vegas Prime.
Yeah.
VegasPrime.com. So check it out. I looked at their dining features. It's stuff we've covered, but they're trying to pick up, and so it'll be interesting to see where they go.
Okay.
let's see, what else? Oh, we've got a kind of a trademark battle, Middle Child, Las Vegas.
Yeah, explain this one to me,
counselor. Okay. So I was on Instagram, and my Instagram feed, you know, it's an algorithm, so they kind of serve you stuff that they think you want. So I got one time a random post from this place called Middle Child Las Vegas, and it was seductive, mysterious. I look at it, and it said, new daytime eatery coming soon. And it's apparently the Herbs and Rye Cleaver owners are opening another restaurant in that Paradise Strip Mall where Cleaver is.
Yeah, right.
But apparently there's a Philadelphia sandwich shop called Middle Child. And so now there's this trademark war between Middle Child Vegas and Middle Child Philadelphia.
Mm.
So,
Because Middle Child Philadelphia is such a household name. I mean,
I guess. I mean, there's apparently confusion. I mean, they're both in the restaurant market, so who knows? But I'm excited about the restaurant. I love Herbs and Rye and Cleaver, and so daytime eatery, I'm all for.
Curious how they found out about it. I guess social media somehow.
Yeah.
You know, and somebody clicked on it and said, that's not the wrong, it's the wrong Middle Child.
Yeah.
And
they went, funny enough, when I first moved to town, there was another Esther's Kitchen somewhere, and I remember that I tagged the wrong Esther's Kitchen.
Yes, I forgot.
I remember that. Yeah.
But presumably neither one has trademarked it, or there's no way. I don't know.
That happened with me in Hamon Hamon. I tagged somewhere in like London, and my family was like, are you in England? And I said, I was like, I don't think so. I mean, I've had a lot to drink, but not that much.
Well, a lot of times, titles, you can't trademark a title. You can't trademark a brand, but you know, there's a movie called Hamon Hamon, you know, famous Spanish movie. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Fun fact.
And which builds, you know, a lot of romance and you know, melodrama around eating and ham and beautiful Spanish ladies and all that sort of thing. But yeah, you cannot trademark a title, because there are some like titles that have been used in movies over and over again. Not Gone with the Wind, but you know, you can, if you look up certain things, you'll see that the same movie's been made at different times with different titles. But you can trademark brand names.
Good to know. So, Middle Child Vegas, stay tuned, see how that plays out. It might be called something different when this all plays out. I found out how to kidnap Ash in one step yesterday. I was walking Main Street in the Arts District, and there was a sandwich board that said, Las Vegas Brewing Company, open, arrow. And it like just, it pointed down Colorado towards Las Vegas Boulevard and 3rd. And I just was like, and now we're going. And so Rocky and I took a little walk down Colorado toward 3rd, and we found Las Vegas Brew Co., and it's open.
That's sort of like...
you know that Fin and... Is it behind Fin and Feathers?
Yeah, Fin and Feathers.
Yeah, it's behind that, closer to 3rd Street.
Well, I'm super excited, because you know what Las Vegas really needs, Sam?
Another brewery.
Another brew pub.
But hey, they've got a Smash Burger. So I'm going. John, don't shit on it. Look, it's my neighborhood. I love that places are coming here.
How many brew pubs can we have? I'm sorry.
How many Italian restaurants can we have?
Okay.
She has a point.
We've got enough food for everyone, sure, but I'm all this.
A variety. Yeah. What are you, some communist?
Yeah, we've got five of everything. We don't need
this
anymore.
This was not in the 5-year plan, comrade.
We should have 3 beers for everyone.
Yeah. Gosh.
A light, a dark, and a pilsner.
Yeah, we'd be out of a show. If, like,
yeah. I mean, so today we're talking about the same five restaurants again.
That's
what I do, come to think of it. Okay.
Well, we'll see. Okay.
Fine. Okay, so Las Vegas Brewing Company's open their new downtown Vegas location. Fox Barbecue in Boulder City, number 5 on Yelp's list of country's top barbecue. But this is funny. The only reason I'm talking about this is because there were 3 others from Vegas that made this list, and one of them is 888 Japanese Barbecue.
Yeah, I mean,
and I'm like, how did this get on the same list as...
Yeah.
Roland Smoke and whoever else.
Because they're just
pulling from reviews. So it's stupid.
Yeah, when Soul Belly is the best barbecue in town by a mile. I've been to Fox Barbecue. Big mistake I made some years ago driving out there for it. Trying to chew through the burnt ends that were more like beef jerky. Really,
burnt ends are beef jerky, though.
Well, well, but you're supposed to be able to actually chew them into actually a digestible form of food. And these things were rubbery and terrible. And never again will I make that. But it just points out the absurdity of Yelp's best anything. Brothers Barbecue in Reno, 888 Japanese. Oh, God.
I know. I stupid. Okay. Other new spots. Shanghai Taste is opening another spot. Did you know that?
I had heard. Yes.
You're gatekeeping. You're not telling our listeners.
Yeah, yeah. But Shanghai, I mean, they're going to be in the Southwest. But
yes.
Everybody's moving to the Southwest right now.
Yeah. It's on Rainbow, June 8th. Also, apparently, they're expanding to Plano, Texas.
Yeah, I heard that, and I just it makes me roll my eyes. I mean, when these guys, you know how many restaurants fail because they decide they're going to get really big? You know, they're doing just fine, but then they go, now I'm going to double my profits and triple when they
yeah.
got, you know. Good luck.
Okay.
Good luck. You remember, I'm going to say two words to the owners of Shanghai Taste, whom I love, Due Forne. Guys, don't remember that. Big, successful, double oven, wood-fired oven, pizza, Italian restaurant. The west side of town, way off Fort Apache, way up by Summerlin. Huge success. And they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to Austin, Texas, and replicate our great success here. That lasted about a year and a half. Both restaurants closed.
Ooh.
So, and I mean, I've seen it happen 100 times. Hundreds of times. So over 40 years.
I think the one on Rainbow would be a natural fit. It seems like Wirita's there. They're over Southwest.
Yeah,
like, you know,
of course,
like that,
yeah.
That'll make sense. So just hopefully the Plano, Texas
Plano,
thing.
Texas, yeah.
Okay, power lunch spots in Vegas. I found this list. I think it was the RJ.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. There's
eight of them.
Oh, my gosh. Okay,
Let's go.
Echo and Rig, Esther's Kitchen, Honey Salt, Lamai, Panavino, Lago, Table 34, and 1228 Main.
Well, they're missing
the
on
Triple
Charleston.
George.
No.
I think it actually is. I think a lot of people from the city and the government and lawyers
no,
go
you're
there.
Right. You actually, I stand corrected. It's not about the food, but yes,
it's not about the
spot,
food.
The spot, and it's those booths.
They're like literal, like confessional booths, high backed. Like you can
yeah,
have.
So what
some,
is that? It's based on the Sutter Grill in San Francisco originally.
The Tadish Grill.
Excuse me, we have a lawyer friend of ours who's a California lawyer and an older guy, and he goes, you know, walk in that restaurant, he goes, you know, some kind of jury tamper or witness tampering happened in these booths, you know.
You can feel the graft and corruption taking place between the tables.
Because if you haven't been there, what it is these booths are almost like little suites. They're closed in with the wood paneling, and so it's a great private spot to me.
Would that Triple George's food was one-tenth as good as the Tadish Grill in San Francisco. But let me – I will take my critic's hat off on this list. And now it doesn't trigger me like the chicken parm thing does and people who think that they know about food because they like chicken parm. But because some of these are not about the food, but I do think, as Sam just said, about – like Triple George, and you said it is a power.
It's like that
spot.
Other place that's up in Summerlin. Well, where everyone wanted to go meet me when we first came to town. What was that?
I'm having Vintner Grill.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised Vintner Grill is
Vintner
not on
Vintner Grill
list.
Should be on here too.
Okay.
Yes. Should be. I think Cipriani should be on here too.
Yeah. I was going to say the other day I went there for lunch for the first time in years. I mean, Jonathan Jostel from the Plaza. Victoria Seaman was there, running for mayor of City of Las Vegas. Richard Harris. Steve Demopoulos was there.
Robert Eglet.
Were there. I mean, it was just filled.
Ash Watkins of Sam and Ash and Jerry Law.
Yeah. Exactly. And John Curtis.
No, you weren't there. That's why I went.
That was. So again, I'll take my critic hat off and go, Echo and Rig does do a lot of Summerlin lunch crowd. Esther's, of course. Honey Salt does, too.
Yeah.
It's been around a long time, but they do. Lamai doesn't belong on this thing at all. I mean, I love Lamai, but it's not a power lunch spot. Panavino is out by the airport.
Yeah.
I mean, never been keen on the food, but it's a pretty restaurant that gets a lot of the business types out there. Lago is just awful. I won't even say anything. And Table 34, got to give props to them, too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They get a lot of the casino executives who have their businesses around there. So
Where's Lago?
Lago's in the Bellagio.
Yeah, it's that like light blue, white-looking restaurant.
Yeah,
and it's not only is it It's the food.
It's just awful. It's one.
Spago? No.
No, not Spago. Lago is.
Is Spago in the Bellagio also?
It is, but
I would put that on the list. I think a lot of people do go to Spago. Yeah. I always get those confused because of the names.
Lago and Spago.
Maybe they did too.
Yeah.
mistyped the L or the S.
Yeah.
But Lago was terrible. I really savaged it in a review. It was my worst meal of the year.
Oh, I remember this. Okay.
Oh, God. So. 1228 Main, of course.
Yeah.
And 1228 Main's funny because I go in there for lunch sometimes and it's jammed. And sometimes I go in and then sometimes it's dead. It's just like weird. Restaurant business is crazy. Okay. I love being a critic. I would hate being a businessman in the restaurant. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, boy, it's a rough way. It's a tough business. All right, so let's keep going.
Wait, I got a few more things on food news, and then we'll take a break, do some listener comments, questions, and then where we went. So, the RJ lists TripAdvisor's top Mexican eateries in Las Vegas. Oh. I just want you to guess what number one is.
You just do this. Just get me upset. You do.
I know. Oh. It makes your Friday lunches that much better.
Okay. What? Juan's Flaming Fajitas?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Not Don Juan's?
No, Casa Don Juan.
Casa Don Juan. Which is even worse.
I know. What would you put as the number one Vegas?
Mexican restaurant in Vegas? Well, I mean, if you really want all of it, Border Grill, the two hot tamales out at Mandalay Bay, is probably in terms of being pitched the highest with the best food, the highest level of cooking.
Interesting, okay.
Maybe Border Grill. I mean, I just think they're really good. I have not been to the one at
Durango,
which you really like.
Is called,
Mijo. Yes.
I did go to La Popular.
In Palms, yes.
In Palms, and I like that quite a bit.
Okay.
But neighborhood Mexicans don't do it for me in this town. It's kind of odd.
Yeah, we went to that one off of Maryland Parkway, the crazy fish or whatever, along Mallorca Loco. And it was horrible.
Oh, it was just awful. I mean, it was just like everything's out of it. You could just see them opening the giant cans of refried beans and dumping them on the plate.
That was brutal.
It was brutal. So, yeah. But, yeah, there's good Mexican in this town, but you got to look for it. And Juan's Flaming Fajitas ain't going to lift my skirt.
And then we've got some wine list updates.
Shall we go there?
Okay. Well, Don's, didn't they? Can we talk about this?
Yeah, God bless them. Showed up in my inbox a few days ago, and here's our new wine list, Mr. Curtis, from some honchos at Fontainebleau. And indeed, they have tripled or quadrupled the number of bottles in that $75 to $150. But I applauded them. I said, bravo. So if you want to go in there and spend $80 on a bottle of wine, not $290, you can do it. But, I mean, as a couple of my buddies, we had a long talk about this. We were going over that wine list with a fine-tooth comb last night. They said they're still buried in a sea of, like, $200 and $300 bottles. And so I'm glad there are some cheaper alternatives. But I spoke about the list with one of my friends who has been in the business and knows wine very well. And he said, you've got to understand, John, these big strip restaurants like these steakhouses, they get such an avalanche of people in them. They really don't want to sell anything cheap. They don't want to sell anything. And they know they're getting hundreds and hundreds of customers all the time that it's not in their business interest to try to appeal to wine lovers who are looking for gems, and they just want to say, this is it, these are our prices, and you 500 people will show up tonight, and tomorrow night another 500 people are going to show up, and among all those people, we'll have some spending this incredibly overpriced amounts of money on wine, and that's the way these strip restaurants are built, and that's the way they don't want to admit it, but they don't want to give you any bargains in wine or feature any inexpensive wine on them. They just don't want to because it looks bad on their bottom line. And they don't have to. They don't have to. Exactly. They don't have to. So that's it. So we got a big argument. I said, the thing I can never get past is restaurants are just middlemen for wine. And this is what I think Sam and I go through this. I mean, they act like, this is a $300, $200. No, you know, it's the one product where everybody knows what it costs, and they're just a middleman, and they are pretending that they're doing something special. And that sommelier at the Lila.
I mean,
she has this ridiculous post about why we're not overcharging you for wine. She never really explains that they are overcharging you for wine. She's just doing that typical somm salesman BS and trying to justify.
Well,
that,
you we're careful because she's a dear friend. Like I really like her a lot. So I'm gonna you just be nice, okay?
As long as she doesn't like chicken parm, I'm cool with her. Okay?
I think you guys are good on that. I think it's a delicate conversation. I think there's a lot of nuances. I think that some wine lists are more egregious and criminal than others and have no desire to provide that middle ground experience. Her point is defending the wine lists and the pricing and the margins. And look, that's her business. So I get it. But also, I mean, you're not the average consumer. A lot of people have no idea what wines they want to drink. They're going to a restaurant. They've made the decision to spend a lot of money. They need to figure out what they like, what they don't like, what their budget is, what it isn't. And a sommelier and a wine program with a well-crafted list that doesn't just come out of nowhere, that costs money, that costs time, energy, effort. And so they will direct them to a wine that could enhance their meal. Maybe not you, John, but I don't think you're the average consumer.
Can I point something else out, John? This is going to pain you, but most people, a $200 bottle or a $300 bottle of wine will just taste different to them than a $100 bottle of wine, even if it's the same bottle of wine. People are going for the experience. They've decided they're going to pay a certain amount of money. They're there to pay it.
I'm called bullshit on everything you both said. You're both wrong. I mean, this is just a pure ripoff of people. I mean, this is a great debate. We can have it for another hour. Delilah, Don's Prime, they're just ripping people off, and they've got a captive audience, and they know they can get away with it.
But the wines that I go to Delilah for are not outrageously priced for what it is.
I don't know that list.
Yeah, I can pick up a great, like, wines that I can't even get on my own.
That's
there's wines that I can't source myself because they're impossible. For example, like Krenkel's wines, like, you know, the... what am I thinking of?
Sinquanon.
Like they'll sort and what do they? They'll have it there for $700, $800 a bottle. That's not insane for a wine that you essentially can't get. I mean, you can.
That's the one thing that gal said that I agreed with. The higher up you go on a wine list, the better the bargains are. Okay.
Yeah.
They upsell. They pad the margins on the lower end.
And that's what I do. I never go to a restaurant. I never go to a place and go, oh, let me buy something that I have 10 of in my cellar that I can, you know, that I am on a list with the winery. I just don't do – I go there to buy a wine that I don't have.
Okay, let me try to say this succinctly and put it in a legal context. And I think this will explain the way I thought. I've been a lawyer for over 40 years. There are lawyers in town who charge $1,000 an hour for things that – another very good lawyer is doing for $400 an hour. Okay. And I've seen this. And the $1,000 an hour guys or girls are basically saying the people that are coming into my office, you know, they don't mind paying this, even if internally I know that the advice I'm giving isn't any better than that guy down the street who's intellect and effort and competency is every bit as good as mine. But I've got the name, I've got the clients coming in here, and they're almost demanding to be overcharged, and that's what I'm going to do. And that's how lawyers do it, and that's how I think restaurants do it with wine. They know they've got you by the short hairs, and a lot of people, just like Sam says, they just want to be overcharged. They want to have a big night and say, look at how much money I spent. But there's an awful lot of customers, and I got to speak for the little guy who, you know, maybe can't afford $1,000. And he can, if I know that the $300 or $400 an hour lawyer is doing just as well for them, excuse me for not really respecting what Mr. $1,000 an hour
I know,
guy
but
is
it's,
doing.
But listen, I'm sorry, but those are a bad metaphor because in a restaurant.
Or analogy.
It's an analogy, right? Yeah. The analogy is this. I'm going to a restaurant in part for – people do go to Las Vegas for the atmosphere. And these restaurants are built out. These are multi-million dollar build-outs of restaurants. Of course, there's – The money, there's got to be an ROI there. There's got to be, these restaurants have to make money too. I don't know. I mean, I don't think the margins in the food, is it?
No, food margins are they're like 15%.
Yeah.
20%.
So the margins on the booze, everybody knows it. And you're sitting there, you're in a beautiful restaurant. So when I go, for example, and I know you don't like Delilah, but when I go to Delilah, I like Delilah for what it is. It's an experience and it's beautiful. And I look at it. And folks, it's probably one of the most beautiful. It's certainly the most beautiful restaurants in Las Vegas, but it's up there. I mean, it's every detail is perfect. And you and look, and that cost.
It has the hottest sommelier, that's for sure. She's a very pretty girl.
Okay, so I'm just gonna moving right along. So but I understand that I'm not going to get the wine there at cost plus 20%. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
All right. Well, we're always just going to agree to disagree.
We could argue about this. And then I was messaging Christy and I said, I would like a discussion on corkage next. And she said, I am not ready to piss off the comments that badly already. Look, wine's one of those things. We could argue about it all the time.
And as I say, I think the more we argue, you can feel the listenership losing interest. Let's
take a break. And then we've got show news to come back to.
All right.
You talk repeat back after this.
Hey, it's Ash, your favorite host of the show. I just know it. Look, besides exploring the Las Vegas food scene, my life's passion is being an injury attorney. So if you or a loved one needs dedicated and passionate legal representation, call Sam and Ash Injury Law. I promise our team will fight for your recovery even more than Sam does to get a word in during this podcast. Again, if you or a loved one needs an injury attorney or simply has legal questions, call 702-820-1234 or visit samandashlaw.com. That's 702-820-1234 or samandashlaw.com. Sam and Ash, because you deserve what's right. Now back to the food, because let's face it, that's what we're all really here for.
John is so...
I'm being petulant now.
Yeah, he's so heated. He took his little, draped sweater off.
I'm not... I just feel... I feel...
Rage.
I feel like...
I got news from the Eat Talk Repeat crew that'll bring you back around, John.
Will perk me up?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, good.
It has to do with our favorite subject on the show, croissant.
Croissant!
We've been talking about it for a while. We're going to do an official
croissant crawl.
We're going to do a croissant crawl 2024. We've found our 16 entrants.
Yes, we have.
And all we've got to do right now is we've got to rank them. So it's going to be kind of like our March Madness bracket.
Seedings, yeah.
We got to seed them so that it's not an unfair first round matchup. But we're going to do the way we've decided. We've got 16 restaurants that hand make their croissants.
Yeah.
And we're going to do four rounds of four. So our palates are fresh for each round. It's the only way to fairly do it.
That was a smart call because idea of us sitting here with a dozen or more croissants in front of us would be boring and exhausting.
Yes. And so we're going to do four rounds and then we'll have a final face off and it's going to be fun. We're going to figure out who we crown the top croissant.
I think we've got, I'm not going to give it away yet. We've got 16 here. I think it's the 16. I mean, if we may be missing one. I don't think so. I think these are certainly the top five or six are the ones that everybody talks about. But there's some other smaller bakeries and whatnot.
Yeah.
We'll bring them in. Blind tasting, four at a time. We'll do it. And I think we're going to try to bring in some guest judges for each one, too. And I've got some people I think I can line up to do it. And it could be a lot of fun.
I think we're going to have a blast. If you think we're probably, possibly, potentially missing your favorite croissant in the valley, send us an email.
Yeah.
Cheers at Eat Talk Repeat.
There you go.
And we'll line it up against what we have. And I think it'll be a lot of fun and a lot of calories. And I love it.
I can't wait.
Okay. So that is looking forward to that this summer.
Okay. So. Now, next up, we had some emails, some listener comments, questions. Sam from San Diego, he reached out. He wants, John, you to not be on the show effectively one day and let me and or Sam do a show about L.A. and Newport Beach. It's almost summer. We will definitely do.
That's a good idea.
Bring back our L.A. Newport restaurants because there's some great ones out there. Although not as great. We're not as dense. No. With fabulous restaurants as
well, you know where I think is. I mean, I don't. LA. I used to hang out. I used to hang out in Orange County, but this was decades ago now. I mean, Santa Monica, yeah. Venice, L.A. is lousy with great food.
I
mean,
I know.
But the trouble is, you got to drive an hour.
You got to be up there.
You got to be there. So, but
I know.
It's, but hey, SoCal and Orange County, that's a great idea, Sam from San Diego.
David K, he reached out. I don't know if we talked about it on the show because I don't listen when I'm not on. So he had previously said he went to Sparrow and Wolf and would never go back. But now he stands corrected because we've said, and John, you're the one that always stands up and says, you got to go to a restaurant more than once before you make up your mind.
Exacto mundo, David K.
So there's that.
And they also enjoyed Manzu very much.
Is that yes, right? Yeah. Yes. Big fans of Manzu.
And
I think that's really kind of it.
And I've got some interesting news, and I can't name this person by name, but he sent me a very, very interesting series of direct messages about our conversation with about the where Jose Andres is going into Crystal's Mall, and he basically I'm trying to pull them up right now because. I'm an absolute idiot right now, and I can't get to them.
Do we have an idea of when that restaurant's going to open?
Well, let me see. I'm not as dumb as I look. How could you be? Okay. All right. Let me just read you.
Okay.
I'm not going to name him by name, but he's a fellow plugged into the business of Las Vegas hotels, casinos,
okay.
and restaurants.
Cool.
I mean, very, very much
our
plugged.
Secret source. So,
he said, Ari, your discussion on the Crystal space, the back of the house there, it's the restaurant where Jose Andres is going to take over, the old Wolfgang Puck, I think it was called Wolfgang Puck Brasserie is what it was called back in the day. But it was another restaurant before that. The back of the house is huge, like 40-50% of the gross. It kills the economics unless you rip out the back of the house and commercialize it at cost. The Jose deal is for multiple units across the Simons portfolio. And Simons are eating all the costs of the renovations and the refurbishing. Okay, so that.
Yeah, I think we talked about it. Yeah. He entered a partnership with Simon Mall.
Right, but apparently they're looking to put him in more than one. This
yep.
is part of the new Jose Andres expansion. So, and my buddy is telling me this too. The location is fine. Mastro's literally can't make any more money. Yeah, you know, that's true.
Yes.
He said it's packed all the time.
We said that last week.
Yeah, we did. And he says, yeah. Even Toca Madeira. Is doing north of 20 mil a year.
Wow.
Is on schedule to do 20 mil a year. It's almost, you know, 1.5 a night, a month, which is, as I've said a million times, and it's now gone up, but all these restaurants are built to do at least a million a month. I mean, if they're not doing a million a month, they're considered a failure on the Las Vegas Strip. He said the Wolfgang Puck Brasserie did 8.5 million, which was about as good as you could do with that space back mm-hmm. in the day. But they're obviously looking to increase that substantially. And many other concepts were looking at it too. He said there was Jose took it when he reached this deal with Simon Malls, but he said there were other people eager to move in there. So
yeah, I think there's Simon Mall is who's behind the Forum Shops, and they
yeah,
have
exactly.
they have Jose
exactly.
Andres going in there also.
Right, right. Zaytinya, yeah. is
yes,
that, is it? And I mispronounced it like
Zaytinya.
It's Zaytinya.
Zaytinya.
I was mispronouncing it again and again last week.
Well, so that space isn't as jinxness, but it explains why it never quite
right.
worked
exactly.
out.
Exactly. So thanks. I can't name him because he said, please don't bring my name into it, but he really wised me up. This is what I love, having stringers and friends like this in the business who will hear us and talk to
yeah.
me and give me the DL on things that I don't think you get from anywhere but eat, talk, repeat.
I love it.
Okay. So so that's that. On the and we really wish Jose well. You want to get into where we've been this week?
I think yeah.
Let's talk about Tuesday night.
Aroma, Latin American cocina. Yeah, John, Food Gal, Mr. Hollywood, and I went down to, what is that, Sunset, Henderson.
It's Henderson. It's on the cusp of Henderson, Green Valley. east of the airport, right as you're getting into the Green Valley area.
Yep, we went to see Chef Kessler before the big reveal on the James Beard Awards, see how he does. But very exciting, fabulous meal.
I blame you.
It's your fault because you never go. So when you do show up, he brings out all of this, supplements our order with all of this other stuff. And
we basically order like five things and we get 10 things.
Yeah.
Yeah, is what it is. And it's funny because I got a message on Instagram when I started posting about it. And somebody wrote on my a comment said, we were sitting right behind you.
Really?
A couple right behind me. And he goes,
that's funny.
I've been following you for years. He says, thank you very much. We've been like multiple times to Aroma. He says, we just love it. So it's a, and let's say I'm a little bit of tease here.
Yeah.
I think Steve Kessler, whether he wins, who cares if he wins the James Beard Award? He was a finalist, a nominee. I mean, the word is out locally and nationally that Aroma is such a great restaurant. He's such a great chef, and he's looking to move. And we're hoping, fingers crossed, he comes down to the Arts District.
Yes.
Yes.
I won't give anything away, but I think, let's say that the options are being explored as we speak.
Yes, and we root for him, and if that happens... I am there.
Yeah, I mean,
I want my own chair.
Yeah, I mean, what I said on Instagram was, it really is one of the most unique restaurants in town. I mean, we all love Italian food. We love, you know, we can talk about French bistros and burgers and pizzas, but I mean, there's nothing like what Kessler is cooking.
I mean, he's doing this like pork tonkatsu with Joel Robuchon potatoes at a Latin American restaurant. So he's like
in a deep Henderson strip mall.
Yeah, exactly. It's so weird.
Cracker
Green Rogers Valley, one. Right?
It's, yeah. And he did those chicken mole tacos.
Oh,
these things are in. I mean, you think, what's a chicken mole taco? But I mean, it's shredded chicken with this deeply flavored heat, but you know, kind of that sweet hot thing
that you
can tell he's been reducing that mole down with these beautiful tortillas. I mean, what else? I mean, the pork belly,
the ceviche we had,
even his rice. He brings out this rice that looks kind of like purpley.
Oh yeah, he's doing kimchi rice with his chicken tinga enchiladas. Yeah, the guy is an artist, a true artist. He's actually. He started Bizarre Meat, so he's an alum from Bizarre Meat.
And he's got a following, and he's a chef. Everybody loves him. He'll be at Vegas Unstripped.
Ah, there you go.
On June 18th. And, so we are...
But you gave him great advice.
Yeah.
Because you said, look, we got to move you. That's how the whole conversation started. You're like, I mean, we got to get you into a different location. And he was like, we're looking, we're exploring. And then you said, but don't blow up the size of the space. You were just like, don't triple and quadruple, stay small. And he said, he agreed. He said, maybe a few more tables, because currently they can maybe have like 20.
Maybe 35.
Maybe,
I think I counted 34 seats.
Okay,
there.
Yeah.
So if he gets to 50, 60 seats, fine. But, you know, another death knell for restaurants. So then they go, oh, we're going to double in size. Yeah, you know, his food is too precise and too personal.
Yeah.
And I hope he just understands that. And I think he would kill it. And I think Mr. Hollywood and I said, when he comes down here, it's not Italian, it's not burgers, it's not pizza, it's like something no one's seen. And I think he would create a mob scene for a different kind of food.
100%. Absolutely.
Yeah. So go Aroma Latin American Cocina. We wish you luck at James Beard, but whether you win or not, you're a finalist, and we just think he's on his way, and we're very happy for him.
Yeah. Okay. Where else have you been, John?
Honest to gosh?
Nowhere.
Almost. This has been a weird week. No one noticed that I'm about 3 pounds lighter today. I've walked my ass off this week.
Okay.
And haven't been eating. I had a wonderful breakfast at 1228 Main.
What'd you have?
I got the pastrami. I'm
so glad you brought this up.
Okay. Did you read the Facebook guy goes, the worst restaurant I've ever been to. I hated everything I had there. And I'm like, what the F did you have, dude? Yeah. Anyway.
Wait, what? Someone said that?
Okay. Well, we'll get back to that in a minute. What were you going to say first?
They got rid of the ham and Gruyere croissant.
Okay, but they'll bring it back.
For the pastrami.
Yeah, for the pastrami.
And it's not
a crime.
It's a no for me, dog.
She's being petulant. All
right. Look, Mr. Hollywood and I went out of our way to try it, and we both kind of were like, we love pastrami, we love croissants, but together it's just kind of a meh.
I loved it. I just love it. And it's got a little Russian dressing thing on top. I just think
it's great. I know, and slaw. Okay. I wanted to love it. I want the regular, traditional back.
Anyway, a guy I know, a local attorney who lives and works downtown, he said, I ate everything at 12:30. I said, what did you have? He said, oh, the salad was overdressed. He said the croissant was the shards that shattered on my upper mouth. I went, well, they're supposed to be crispy. You know, that's the king. A croissant has a crust to it, and then it's rich and buttery, but he apparently didn't like that. And then the interior
was
soaked
normally
with butter. This guy's no Rube. He's a well-traveled guy. And then, but we went back and forth in a respectful way.
I love 1228 Main, and I'm guilty of starting my day there and then wandering the Arts District and then ending my evening there. Yeah. It is so great.
Well, and I'm going to get a little plug in for the district right down the couple blocks down.
The District Deli?
The District Deli. I went there and had a sandwich, and it was pretty darn good. It was.
You went again?
I went again.
Because I went the first time, and I was
disappointed. I went again, and I can't remember what it was, but my wife, the food gal, and I looked at it and went, it's pretty darn good. And the coffee was good, and the kids were nice. Okay, so give it another shot.
I'm going to
give it another shot.
I'm rooting for it. It's in my neighborhood. Trust me, I root for all of these places.
Yeah. It's so small. It only seats like 12 people. It's really nice. So that's one. But no, it's been a very, very light restaurant week for me. And maybe because I'm just recovering from all this wine debate I've been having.
I know. all the
or
whining.
Maybe the Psalms have turned on you and you can't go anywhere anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
They've put out the hit. what about you, Ash?
I went to Edio Tapas with Mr. Hollywood on
the original.
Tuesday. Yeah, the original on Jones. Just a classic. It's so damn good.
Do they ever miss a beat there?
They never miss a beat. I've never gotten a plate that just didn't hit the mark. And that's a great example of a small restaurant that just stayed small and is just chugging along. And so I haven't been there probably in over a year.
Yeah.
And great reminder of where it all started for me and my culinary adventures here in Vegas.
Yeah, well, that's a good foot to get off on.
Yeah,
okay, you're going to go to the best.
Well, it's so standard and typical for Vegas, and not typical from Orange County. Because remember, I came here from Southern California, walk into that strip mall on Jones, and everyone telling me this is the top rated restaurant,
and you're like,
you look up and you're like, where the am I? There's a foot spa next door, and there's a karaoke place right in the corner.
Yeah. Well, there's a direct correlation between the number of foot spas near restaurants to how good they are. The more foot spas, the better they are.
Yeah, it's a direct correlation.
It's a Vegas thing. Only in Vegas.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the strangest
Kabuto, same thing.
Foot spas.
Yeah.
There's two in that one.
Yeah, Nakamura. Yeah.
Foot spas.
You know, that's how you tell the difference between a rub and tug and a legitimate one.
We had a decent show, guys.
Okay. You know, in my day job, I'm tasked by the city of Las Vegas with shutting down.
You the secret shopper?
No, we have investigators. I'm the lawyer who backs it up.
Okay, so give us the insider secret.
Well, generally, a giant foot, you know, in the advertisement out front is a good sign. It's legitimate, and they're just rubbing your feet or your back. When it's a hot Asian chick on the sign, that's a signal, a not so subtle signal that you can get what you pay for, depending on what you want. So that's not true all the time. I want to be fair to these
allegedly
massage parlors, but sometimes the more sexy gals, more sexy pictures out front, the more likely.
The more it looks like a strip club and a brothel, the more likely it is.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay.
A big foot is a good indicator of legitimacy.
Okay. There you go. So I went to Edio Tapas. Oh, Mr. Hollywood found Ton Shu in that Spring Mountain. I know. We just drive Spring Mountain and see places signs that say grand opening. So
blew the food gal away. She goes, how did you find this place?
Yeah, I don't. He does. Ton Shu. So it's TonShou. Let me confirm that.
And where on Spring Mountain Road?
Like in between 00 Pie and Pub.
Okay.
Yeah, it's that strip mall.
The world's most impossible strip mall to park in?
Yeah, we went at a weird time because of just work, and I couldn't get away. And so it was like 2 o'clock, and that's easy. Just when you go, we've talked about this. When you go at rush hour peak times, you will always find parking problems, whether you're at the Strip, anywhere, really. And worth being. Anywhere worth being.
Early in the week, too. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's easier to go to that shopping mall.
Correct.
I mean, some nights, we go there Tuesday, Wednesday night, you just pull right in and park. Yeah, Thursday night at 7 o'clock, Friday night, it's going to be a mess.
So it's a premium Japanese katsu restaurant, so pork cutlets and rice and beautiful dishes. And
crispy deep frying things they do.
Yes, very good. So I will post some photos of that. That was exciting. And then we did China Mama yesterday, early.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And?
Very good. Yeah. That place always hits.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't go wrong. But again, another place you got to go to early.
Before we leave Tonshu, a fun fact trivia. You're here for trivia and information, as well as us arguing about things.
Mm-hmm.
The Japanese are masters of deep frying, but do you know where they learned it from? In fact,
the Filipinos.
No.
Deep frying.
The
Russians.
No, the Portuguese.
Oh.
The Portuguese were the first European traders to go to the Japanese island, and they loved to fry fish and fry seafood, and they basically taught. This is back in the 1600s.
So tempura is from Portugal.
Tempura is basically just a Japanese take on what the Portuguese were doing with those with the lighter bread. They do different kind of bread flakes and whatnot for it. But yeah, the Portuguese taught the Japanese everything they know, and even the Japanese will admit this, that they learned it hundreds of years ago from Portugal.
Yeah, and that's actually an incredible point because, yes, almost everything on the menu is deep fried, but to do that well is hard
and not
difficult.
Greasy.
And it's not greasy, it's light, and you don't taste the oil.
Yeah.
So it's all clean. And one of the things we had were the eggplant fries.
Oh, God.
Oh, really so good. So, yeah,
all right,
I highly recommend.
Tonshu, gotta check it out.
Yes, and that's my adventures.
Okay, pet peeves of the week, real quick.
Wait. Where'd you go?
I was in Miami, but I did go to.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. John's completely forgotten about me now that he disagrees with my wine opinions. Okay,
as he should.
That's what makes for a good show.
Though. I don't know who here loves. I love Miami, but I had some great food. Forte de Marmi, it's an Italian restaurant, Ocean Boulevard, South Beach. Unbelievable. Forte de Marmi. Incredible food, and it has some of the best fresh-made gelato, pistachio gelato. Mm. It is to die for. It is not the least bit too sweet or too savory. It is a perfect, perfect, perfect gelato. But their pastas are great. Their costoletta milanese is just the bright thickness. In Miami. And it's got all the New Yorkers there. I mean, I'm telling you, this place has a thing. And then I go from time to time. Not that impressed. Thomas Keller Surf Club, you know,
it's a money grab.
It's fine. It's okay.
These chefs, they get so big. You know,
they take themselves so seriously.
Did you go to the pizza place?
No, you didn't. You didn't tell me before I left.
Oh.
You told me about this months ago.
I went to La Legenda when we were there months in March. Mr. Hollywood and I found the pizza that made us stop eating pizza for 3 months.
Will you send me that link after?
It is the best.
In Miami.
Yeah, best Neapolitan pizza I've ever had. And even Mr. Hollywood said, and he's a amateur, almost pro pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Pizza.
Well, we did a pizza one night.
Whoa. We found this place in Miami Beach, and it's unbelievable. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Sam, that's a great show. They take themselves so seriously.
And you know what happens? So she comes to the table after all the pomp and circumstance, and she goes, "Are there any allergies at the table?" And the way she said it, just I couldn't help myself, and I said, "Yes, cats." And she goes, "Well, I think we're going to be okay because we're not going to be – we don't have any of those in the kitchen."
I was like, I would say la cucaracha.
She's like, can't guarantee that.
In Portuguese.
Yeah.
Okay.
Portuguese. Yeah, but the pretension of these, the pretension at some celebrity chefs, you know.
It's a hotel restaurant.
28th restaurant.
Restaurant with the name on it. It's beautiful inside. Don't get me wrong. It's a great, beautiful restaurant, okay? Atmosphere is a 10 out of 10. But the people there just are such snobs.
Oh, yeah, and then when they're trading on it. But they're saying people like to overpay for wine.
Oh.
Shots fired.
Serve some warm milk with that.
All right, let's do pet peeves. Sam, you mentioned having one.
I have a pet peeve. It's a huge pet peeve.
Take it away.
And it's from my trip where I almost lost a jacket. Oversized fucking menus. Like, I'm talking about the kind of menus that that you put on the table and you can completely hide behind. It's a fad. It's a thing these restaurants are. It's not that they have a lot of stuff on them.
The pictures?
No, it's just it's just an absurdly big menu for the sake of like the outer cover and for drama or whatever it is. Well, point in fact, they do not go hand in hand with wine glasses on the table.
Ooh.
And I had my, you know, my cream color jacket, my new one.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy, I was.
I am envious of that jacket.
I was stained by a wine
mentally
glass.
And physically.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, at 14 Marmy, all the waiters are these Northern Italian guys, and the guy just ran right up. He goes, "Here's some white wine, sir." He brought in a glass. He goes, "It's my grandmother's trick, you to put the white wine on."
Yeah,
and
here's some red wine, and pour just, white on it.
And he literally, he took, guess what? By the time I got it to the dry cleaner the next morning, it all came out. So I want to, again, Forte de Marmi, your menus are huge. Surf Club, your menus are huge. I've seen this a lot of places.
That's a throwback, man. That
and it's like it might be a Miami thing. I don't know what it is, but it's. I'll send a picture here. We'll put it up on our socials.
I want to see it because I'm remembering giant menus from like the 70s and 80s and 90s when like places like Lebeque Fenn in Philadelphia, which had a menu that opened up and it was like, you
that's
know,
exactly what it was.
It was 2.5 feet wide, 3 feet wide. You know,
is it to make you feel small?
I don't know. I think it was just back then there was a lot about menu.
You have an
art.
Ugly date, you can hide her behind the menu.
Yeah, or yourself. But you know, I have a wall of menus in my house, and a lot of them are really large menus I collected back in the 80s and 90s.
Then the trend went to nice, like small menus, remember? It's been for a while, and I'm okay with that.
Hey, I remember eating at the number one, 11 Madison Park.
Yeah.
Back when it really big. Back then, and they gave you a menu, and I'm holding up just a regular 9x11 piece of paper. Imagine this about a third smaller, and they hand it to you, and it would, hey, it would say things like this, lamb.
Well, that's when they still serve meat.
Yes, exactly. Lamb, lamb, saffron, broccoli.
Well, because it was tasting menu. It was just kind of like.
But it was all this minimalist stuff. You had no idea. You know, it would just be, chicken, oregano, and that was. And so you're reading this tiny little piece of paper, and this was the whole thing. And it was like, we're so cool, we don't have to tell you what you're going to eat. And we want to confuse you. So now this is, pendulum is swung.
It's
in
another
the other
extreme.
Direction.
And it's not, again, it's not that it's Cheesecake Factory, right, with a bunch of stuff on the menu. It's all very, like, small. It's all very, like, spread out.
Yeah.
It could definitely be condensed.
Yeah. Cheesecake Factory is like a, it's like a spiral bound binder. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Okay. That's interesting. That's a really good pet peeve.
Finally.
No, I don't always come through for you guys, but, once in a while.
Okay, John?
Well, I have a hard time competing with this, okay? I mean, this is more like an Ash Watkins microaggression. All right. I just think when I will say something and I will put something on Instagram or Twitter – and I'll go, hey, I went to Aroma, or I'll go to Edo, and I'll go, enlist. Instagram, you can put up 10 pictures. Facebook, you can put up 30 if you want to. Twitter, you can only put up 4, it works for me. But I will do this. And let's just talk about Instagram. So I'll put up something and go, Aroma's so good. Oh, my God. You won't believe this. And one of the comments will be, what are your favorites? What should I order when I go there? It's like, hey, hello. I just told you I liked it. I just posted pictures.
Just show them the picture.
Exactly. It's right down there with where is it? A boomer thing where people, you've linked to everything and they'll go, where is it?
How do I get there? No, it's how do I get there? It's no, like the problem is they have the photo that you've posted. And online, there's a menu, surely, that they could find.
Right.
They just don't want to fucking do the work to figure it out.
Exactly.
And that's offensive.
And I hate to, it's a boomer thing, okay?
No, I would say it's millennial and even like it's a laziness thing. It's not necessarily generational.
I'll give it to you.
Because they just want someone else to do all the work for you.
Right. So just tell me what I should order. It's like, I'm telling you it's great. And, you know, this is...
How should I order my steak? It's like, well, I don't know. How do you fucking like it?
Well, I was ranting in the car the other day into the food gal, and I said, sometimes they want you... Yelp is like this. They want you to go, well, I enjoyed the turbo, especially with the way the tarragon played off the piquancy of the orange hollandaise. I mean, no, you know, at this point in my career, I go, hey, go there. The fish is great. Order it. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to pretend to be.
I had a great meal. Here's what I had.
Here's what I had. You know, and you're either going to trust me that it's going to be good and make your own decisions or be lazy and like you say. So that's my pet peeve of the week.
Good for you.
So it's a certain arrogance behind it, but come on, I think I've earned it. Okay.
So yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Anyway, Ash.
I'm going to repeat. I'll bring the repeat to this show. Homemade ketchup. Don't do it. Restaurants, don't do it.
Unless it's like Vesta's bodega sandwich where it's got some kick to it. That is different.
Right. I mean, if it's just a ketchup.
What if it tastes really good?
It doesn't.
It doesn't. It never does. There's only one ketchup out there.
Heinz.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
You were never a Hunt's fan?
I know. I did. I went through a Hunt's phase. But I think now it's too sweet.
She was hunting for something new.
Yeah. I don't even remember where I was, and it was their homemade ketchup. And I was like, yeah, get out of here with this.
Yeah. Well, barbecue sauce has got to pass, though, because I love a
mustard. Different. Barbecue sauces are
make your own mustard. Make your own barbecue sauce.
Yeah, ketchup, just don't.
No, don't do it. Okay. Well, that's pet peeves of the week. We've repeated them now.
Yeah.
And there we go. And another one's in the can.
Stay tuned for our croissant call.
Croissant!
2024. Chef Kessler even did it when he saw us come in.
He's like, croissant!
He's like, croissant!
Good night, Canada.
Movie with a suitcase. Y'all living in a disco. Forget about the rap race. Let's do the milkshake and send it like a hotcake. Try some, buy some, beat by four, pop, talk about.
Hey, it's Ash. Today's episode is sponsored by Sam and Ash Injury Law. When I'm not eating food, talking about food, or dreaming about food, I can be found at Sam and Ash, helping clients get the justice they deserve. So if you trust our opinions about where to eat and where not to eat in Las Vegas, you should also trust me when I tell you if you've been injured in a crash, call Sam and Ash. We're here to help you day or night, 24/7. We're never closed. So call 702-820-1234. Or visit salmonashlaw.com. That's 702-820-1234 or salmonashlaw.com. Sam and Ash, because you deserve what's right.